Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Avodah Zarah Ayin Gimel, we begin at the Mishnah, line 2 off the top of the Amud. Yayin Nesach Aser. As we know, Yayin Nesach is Aser. To the extent that Va'isar V'chalashu, even a droplet of this forbidden wine that lands into other liquids, other wine, other water, would make it Aser. Now it depends. What did it fall into? If it's something of the same type, so it's non-kosher wine into other wine, so wine into wine, yayin b'yayin, or umayim, you have forbidden water. How do you have that? Rashi says on the top line, mayim shenis naschu la'avodas kechum. Apparently, aside from offering their wines to the idols, they would do the same with water. So you have water which has now become forbidden, and that water naflu b'mayim de'eter, landed into regular water, kosher water. Okay, so we have either wine into wine, umayim b'mayim, or water into water. Now, since they're both of the same variety, we have to be more strict. B'cholshu, even a drop would contaminate the entire mix, because there is no opposition to nullify the incoming forbidden material. So even a drop of that would affect the entire mix. However, if it landed into something different than itself, a different material, like yayin, non-kosher wine, but mayim, it got mixed into kosher water. So now he has a challenge. He's being opposed by something with a totally different flavor, different properties, right? Or the opposite, umayim b'yayin, you have non-kosher water getting mixed into kosher wine. Here, the system is based on flavor, on taste. Depends if the incoming non-kosher material is recognizable, is discernible in terms of flavor in the general mix, b'naisein tam, which is typically the 60 rule, right? So, if there is 60 times as much as the non-kosher arrival, so you have an ounce of non-kosher wine mixed into 60 ounces of kosher wine, it becomes bottle, right? So if the amount of the kosher is 60 times greater than the non-kosher, then it's okay, because at that point, it's no longer contributing. The flavor is no longer discernible. It becomes nullified, bottle, and it's kosher. Zaklal, as per the following rule, min b'mina b'mashu, if non-kosher lands into kosher and they're both the same min, even a drop affects it. V'shalei b'mina b'nesin tam, if there are different times, it's about tam, it's about flavor, which is the 60th rule. Here come several halachas, all in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, regarding mix-ups. Wine and water. Kiyos Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Omar, Rabbi Yechanan, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan as follows. And this is going to be a great leniency, a great kula regarding Taroibus of Yayin Nesach. Hamar Yayin Nesach, if one pours non-kosher wine, Mechavis Labar, from the barrel into the storage tank below, into the pit, which contains kosher wine, Filu Kola Yayin Kula, even if he's pouring and pouring and pouring, which results in a great amount, huge amount of forbidden wine in that container, Rishon Rishon bottle, it's no problem because it's bottle. How's a bottle if it's such a great amount? The answer is Rishon Rishon. As the wine flows in, drop by drop by drop, right? We can sort of view each droplet as a separate entity. It's so minuscule, so small, and it's going to be bottle in the general mix, despite the fact that he's being followed by another drop, who's followed by another drop. Huge flow, right? We splice it into fractions. Each drop on itself is not a concern. Therefore, it's all bottle. Huge chiddush. Well, let's see what the Mishnah has to say. It's not. We just learned in the Mishnah. Yayin Nesach, right? Serva Oisib Bekal Shehu? Even a drop of Yayin Nesach. Forbids the entire mix. My lab, let's assume the Kanafal Yisur L'Goyeteir was speaking that it landed in this manner. The non-kosher wine was poured into the kosher wine, and still we see that it affects it. We don't say, well, each droplet is bottle and we just ignore it. That's a kasha. On Rav Dimi. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. The Kanafal Hetera Luga Yisura. Actually, the Mishnah could be speaking where it fell just the opposite. The Heter fell into the Yisur. So the bar was full of Yisur wine, into which dropped Heter wine. So here, you have the opposite effect. The kosher wine now becomes bottle in the Yisur, and certainly it gets affected by it. But it should it be the opposite. If it would have been the other way around, the Yisur falling into the Heter, it would be bottle, because each drop is bottle, comma, bottle. Tashma, here comes another Reif from Rav Mishnah. We have a case of Yayin, wine, that landed into water, B'mayim. Here it's not the Kolshu system, rather B'nois and Tom. It's about whether the Tom was transmitted. My love, now what fell into what? Which one was kosher, which one wasn't? Let's assume the Kanafel, Chamra di Yisura, L'mayi the Atera. Non-kosher wine landed into kosher water. And we see that there's a concern. If there's no Saint Tom, right? If the wine affects the water in terms of flavoring, it's us. We don't say, well, let me drop his bottle. Says they weren't light. No. It's just the opposite. The Kanaf al-Khamra, the Hetera, the Ma'idi Sur. The Mishnah is speaking where the water below is us. And it received within it a shipment of wine, which was mutter. So in this case, yeah, if the water imparts a taste into the wine, then you have a problem. Rashi says, as opposed to a case where, let's say, a huge barrel of wine fell in one shot, so the water would not dilute, wouldn't affect it, so then it would be mutter. But otherwise, it's asr. Because, again, we're speaking that the mutter fell into the asr. But if it's the other way around, the isr falls into the mutter, certainly it would be bottle, comma, bottle, like Rav Dimi. Okay, says the Gemara, umidereisha b'mayi di isur. So let's assume that the cases in the Mishnah correspond to each other, are on the same, you know, track depicting similar circumstances in terms of the nature of the materials being discussed. If we just assumed and concluded that this case, you know, the first part in the Mishnah, midereisha, the first wine-water mix, is relating to water which is asur and wine which is mutter, right? With Reisha B'mayidi Yisura, we'll assume Seifa Nami, the next case in the Mishnah as well, is patterned after this type of circumstance, that we're speaking B'mayidi Yisura, that the water is asur. Ketani Seifa, what does the Seifa say? Mayim, so water, assuming is asur, right? B'yayim, lands into wine which is mutter, B'nois and Tam. If there is flavor, it's asur. Hold it. If the isur falls into heter, there should be no concern whatsoever. Kama bottle. Amalach Rav Dimi, says Rav Dimi, no. Kula mas nis heter l'ga yisur. You're right. The whole Mishnah is sort of patterned and follows the same, you know, pattern, but the pattern is that heter falls into isur. That's the recurring, you know, theme in the Mishnah on all the cases. Sometimes the water is usur, sometimes the water is mutter. That's not the issue. The issue is permissible, falls into non-permissible. And that's why we have this problem. Because if it would be vice versa, isur into heter, it would be bottle. The ratio in the first case is speaking the kanafel chamer de etera, lamai de isura, kosher wine falls into non-kosher water. Seifa, in the next case is speaking also kosher into non-kosher, but just the materials have changed. The kanafel maya de etera, kosher water falls into L'chamer d'yisur, non-kosher wine. And that's why you have an issue of Naisen Tam, of Mashu. But would it have been the other way around? Isur into Heter, comma, bottle. However, Kiyos Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, he quotes Rabbi Yechanan, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, not so quick. He limits this concept. Hama'ora Yayin Nesach, Mitzartur Katan Labar. Only if one poured Yayin Nesach from a small, like a container which has a little, you know, opening. Some say it's like a drip opening, but it's a small flow. It's not like a gush coming out of a barrel. So he pours that into the bur of permissible material. In this case, afilu kol yom kulo, even if he does it continuously throughout the day, a huge amount ends up landing in the pit. Rishon bottle, every droplet of his bottle, you don't have to reckon with it. But v'dafka tzartzur katan, only in this in the case of this small container which has a small drip flow. The gush isn't so great. But in the case of a barrel, which was the previous story, no, you wouldn't apply this concept. Nafesh Amude has this significant flow. In this case, you can't say, well, view it as just droplets and its bottle. It's one big, huge, unit of liquid, in which case you can't just ignore it. Okay, so we have interesting chiddush, kama bottle, which means that if you have isra falling into heter, you don't have to reckon with it, despite its large volume, because you sort of fraction it, split it into pieces. Each droplet is viewed independent of the next and its bottle. According to Rav Dimi, even a large flow from a barrel into a pit, according to Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef, only a small drip-drop type of flow. Here comes another halach in the name of Rabbi Yochanan regarding a mix-up. But instead of only speaking about two elements, kosher into non-kosher, or the other way around, we're speaking about an equation which contains three elements. For instance, you have kosher wine, which received the delivery of non-kosher wine. Okay, so non-kosher fell into kosher, but there was also some water around in that equation. Now, just to keep it, clear and simple, let's say in terms of quantity, you have an ounce of non-kosher wine. The water present contains 60 ounces, so 60 times greater. It allows it to override the non-kosher wine, right? It's bottle. However, there's kosher wine in the mix as well. And that kosher wine, say, is also an ounce. Now, if you'd combine the total of both wines, which is 2 ounces now, the water, which is merely 60, is not enough there. It's not 60 times greater than the combined amount. It is 60 times greater than the ounce of non-kosher wine. But now, if you have both wines mixed together, you really have a total of 2 ounces of wine. Some kosher, some non-kosher. But the whole mix is now also because of the non-kosher. So the question is, how much do you require? How much water is needed to override this? Do you need 60 times the combined amount? 60 times 2 ounces, which is 120 ounces of water to nullify the problem? Or is 60 ounces of water enough to nullify the ounce of non-kosher wine? Here comes this discussion. He also Ravin. He quotes Amar Bichon. Yai nesach shnafel abar. So you have non-kosher wine in the pit. Suppose it's an ounce. V'nav hasham kiten shomayim. And in comes a container of water. 60 ounces of water. Now, hold it. There was already kosher wine in the pit before the non-kosher arrived. So you have an ounce of kosher wine, an ounce of non-kosher wine, total of 2 ounces, and now a container of water spilled in there with only 60 ounces of water. No problem. You know why? Even though it's only 60 times greater than the non-kosher, not 60 times greater than the total 2 ounces of wine, we don't care. We ignore, we disregard the kosher wine. He's not part of the equation. He's not part of the problem. So we could just sort of, in our minds, set it aside. Focus on the ounce of non-kosher wine and oppose that with the 60 ounces of kosher water. And you could. We visualize as though the permissible, the ounce of kosher wine, doesn't exist in the mix. Vashar. And with respect to the rest, i.e., the ounce of non-kosher wine, mayim, the water, which is 60 times greater than that, Ravan Olav overrides it. About Noisai. And nullifies it. So that was Ravan's Chiddush, the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We don't view them together. we view the wines as though they're separate entities. It's merely an ounce to deal with. And 60 ounces nullifies it. Ki asr Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, he quotes Amr Yechanan, Leishanu, this is only true, El Shanafal Kiton Shemaim Tchilah, the water arrived before the non-kosher wine, before the non-kosher wine had the opportunity to team up, so to speak, to attach himself, and to mix with the kosher wine. So basically, as soon as the non-kosher arrived, he already had that confrontation. He had the water waiting for him. But if the kosher wine hadn't yet arrived, by the time the non-kosher arrived, he only came later, too late, because the non-kosher had already mixed with the kosher wine, and since they're of the same type, we say matza min esmina, one type found its own ilk, and they reinforced each other, they teamed up, veneer, he woke him up, so to speak, they reinforced each other, they're now a formidable team. They're 2 ounces of non-kosher wine. And now you require 60 times 2 ounces, which you don't have. So Ravin quoted Rabbi Yechanan that the water can override the non-kosher. Rav Shmuel Yehuda adds a condition. You have to make sure the sequence works. That the water was there, was present, when the non-kosher arrived. But otherwise it doesn't work. According to the second version coming up, this sequence is not required. It's not a precondition. Because some had a different version there. Shmuel bar Yehuda related this idea back on the Mishnah, where it says, Yain b'yain kosher, non-kosher into kosher wine, even a drop is a problem. It's only concerned, there's no water present. Aval nafal sham, kitan shomayim. But if there was a water contribution to the mix, and that water contains the quantity which is 60 times greater than the ounce of non-kosher, you're good to go. We just disregard the ounce of permissible wine in the mix. We just disregard it for the meantime. Vashar, with respect to the non-kosher wine that entered, the water has the ability to nullify it. Maim raven olav matan oisaydi. Water which has a greater amount, 60 times greater than that wine, overrides it and destroys it. Now, according to this version, even if the water arrives later, he's the last visitor. So basically it was kosher wine in the container, an ounce. Non-kosher wine, another ounce. And then comes the water. So even though he came, he's a latecomer, it doesn't matter. He can sort of single out the non-kosher component of this mix and zap him. Any difference between those who applied the quote of Rav Shmuel on the Mishnah, which is the most recent version, versus the first version where it was related on, you know, Ravin's statement, right? Says the more, yeah, big difference. According to the second version, there's no need for the water to be there first. Even if it comes in second, third, doesn't matter. As long as ultimately the non-kosher is challenged by the water. Whereas in the according to the first version, that Shmuel Rav Yehuda was relating it to Ravin's halacha, he was clearly coming to modify the halacha and require firstness, meaning that the sequence should follow this order. The water arrives before the non-kosher wine. Because otherwise, what's he adding on to Ravin, who also told us that the water makes magic? Apparently, he was coming to add and say, one second, provided that the water came before. So basically, according to that, we have an ounce of kosher, followed by water, who was already present and ready to fight by the time the non-kosher arrived, and then he could sort of undo him. But according to the other version, that's not necessary. Ultimately, if there's water in the mix, he can just single out, identify, challenge, and vanquish the non-kosher ingredient. So according to all these opinions, we apply this idea called rayin, right? We just ignore the heter. We disregard the permissible portion of wine. We don't have to deal with it. And as long as there's kosher volume, which amounts to 60 times greater than the non-kosher contribution, you're okay. But according to Chizkiah, coming up in a minute, we don't apply this idea. He says, no. He says, you have to deal with both ounces of wine, because the fact is they've now blended with each other, became usher. If you want to be mevatel, you have to mevatel all 2 ounces. Okay, so you need 60 times 2 ounces. Because they're both considered like one, you know, one team, one entity. Itmar yai nesach shnafel abar. So once again, we have yai nesach, which entered a container that already had kosher wine. And then comes some water. V'nafel sham kitan shomayim. What happens now? Amar Chizkiah, we do not say royin. No, no. So therefore, he says like this. If higdilu be iser, so the final increase, higdilu means the they got increased. Who's they? Well, the boyer already had kosher wine, an ounce of it. It had the 60 ounces of water, and now higdilu, they've become increased. They've gotten, you know, their quantity has risen by way of another visitor, the Isser, by the arrival of non-kosher wine, another ounce of it. What happens to the mix? Too late. It's Isser. Because we have a total of 2 ounces of wine in this pit. One was originally kosher, but now it became affected by the non-kosher wine. So now it's all becoming, it's all considered non-kosher. And there isn't an adequate amount of water to override the 2 ounces. So we don't say this idea of ignoring, disregarding. No. We have a total of 2 ounces of non-kosher wine, which has to be nullified by 60 times as much as that. We don't have. However, higdilu beheter muter. The only way it's okay with this three-way mix is if the first into the pit was the forbidden wine. With the water, which has 60 times the amount of the non-kosher wine, was mevatel it, was matir it, made it muter, and now higdilu, if the final increase, they, meaning the first two components, now became more, the quantity has risen, has increased, by way of beheter, the final visitor, who was permissible wine. If he's last on the scene, then you're safe, because the yai nesach was already bottled by the water in the pit. Muter, then you're okay. So basically, according to Chizkiah, that's the only way to be matir. We don't say Royin, and right? The only way is if the Yai Nesach had already been bottled in the water. And now comes kosher wine and joins them. That's okay. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no. Rabbi Yechon is the one who holds Royin. So it really doesn't matter. Even if the kosher wine comes in last. Even if the Isser wine comes in last, meaning he joins the kosher wine together with that water. Even if their quantity has increased by way of the final visitor, which was non-kosher wine. So he came last. First you had kosher wine with water mixed. Now you have non-kosher wine. It's also fine mutter, because the water within this mix can now confront the new visitor, the new arrival, the non-kosher wine, single him out, and vanquish him. Because we could just ignore the kosher wine element of this mix. We don't need to challenge him. He's okay. So the water can just turn and confront the non-kosher wine, which is merely an ounce. The water has 60 ounces. He's good. And that's in line with the previous Gemara, that Rayin works to be mevatel the Yisr. So he wasn't really sure how to interpret this machlekes. So initially he had a theory. had explained the machlekes between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechon. So the way we explained it, that's the way the Gemara is going to conclude later. But at this early point in the Gemara, we're still not sure what this machlekes is based on. Shall we say perhaps lema that Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechon, the basis of their disagreement is in line with the different machlekes between Rav Elazar and the Rabbanon, which we actually discussed a couple of weeks ago regarding the sourdough, right? The yeast used to ferment the dough. We plucked the Rav Rabbanon kamitzlagi, the snan, as we have in the Mishnah, sa'ar, shal chulin, shal truma, shnav techeis. So we have sa'ar, which is sourdough yeast, a piece of chulin, which is fully kosher, shal truma, another piece of sa'ar, consisting of truma, which is only good for a kain. Now they both landed in a dough. Shenafel techeis. Now each one alone can't really do the job. Each one on its own cannot really accomplish the desired results. It can't work independent of the other one. But it's tough for v'chimtzu. In fact, they teamed up and they accomplished. They fermented the dough. They made it rise. Question is, what's the status of the dough? Right, the sourdough is now permeating the dough. It just processed the dough. So the whole thing is felt throughout the dough. What should we focus on? What should we give the credit to the chulin or to the truma? Is the dough considered chulin or truma? Blazer Aymer, all depends who came in last, because he kicked the ball over the goal line. He's the one that concluded the job. Blazer Aymer achar achar and iba. We focus on the last arrival. The last one was truma, and the dough is truma. Otherwise not. V'chacham Aymer, no, sequence is irrelevant. Bein shenafal iser betchila. Whether the truma came in first or second doesn't really matter. It won't affect the dough. Unless the truma can accomplish the result on his own. But if he needs to share the job with the chulin, that's called zev zegayrim. Right? So we have two forces working together. We can't really consider a truma. So now, at this point, explains Rashi, the Gemara figured that this machlek just presented can fall in line with Chizkiya and Rabbi Yechon's disagreement as well. They can be speaking about the same points. Why? Let's go back a second. Chizkiya speaks about what came in last. Kosher wine, water, non-kosher wine. He says, look, if the Isser comes in last, you're in trouble. That sounds like Rabbi Elazar. It's about sequence. Hence, who came in last. Right? Kosher came in last, then you're good. Whereas Rabbi Yechon says, that doesn't really matter. It's always good. It appears to be in line with the Rabbanon, who likewise, by the sourdough, are not concerned about sequence. It's always considered kosher. Says the Gemara, Vitisper, how can you suggest that the two things are related? V'amr Abaye, Abaye had already explained Rabbi Elazar's opinion regarding the sourdough. Lo yishanu, it's only true. When does Rabbi Elazar permit the dough if the heter came in last? Elisha kodem basilikas iser, there's a condition for that. Only if he first removed the iser before the heter came in. So there's no iser to speak of, only the effects of the Isser, so he could just ignore it. Ava loikodam basilikas Isser. Also, but if he hadn't removed the truma by the time the chulin fell into the dough, it would be Asr. That's not going to work with Chizkiya. So, according to this interpretation, you were suggesting that Chizkiya was on Rabbi Elazar's track? No, Chizkiya damar kaman. Chizkiya's opinion won't be in line with any shita. Why? He explains Rashi. Let's explore the options. Shall we say that Chizkiya is in line with Rabbi Elazar? Well, it wouldn't work because in our situation, was the non-kosher wine ever removed from the mix? Of course not. And we just learned that according to Rabbi Elazar, it's only okay if you remove the problematic material. So that won't work. On the other hand, could you say Chizkiya is gone like the Rabbanon? No, but according to Rabbanan, they say that even if the Isra comes in last, it's still going to be mutter. According to Chizkiyah, it's not so. Eller, so apparently the two discussions are unrelated. So regarding the sourdough, it's a totally different topic. Rashi explains, it's not about mix, it's about the fact that the sourdough is now, has now processed the dough. So it's permeating the dough, it's felt throughout the dough. It affects the status of the entire dough. So it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a drop, it's a mashu. No, the whole dough has now been transformed by this isra. And the question is, well, when you have two causations, zeh v'zeh gerem, you have two forces working in tandem to achieve a certain, you know, goal, a certain result. Zeh v'zeh gerem, one mutter, one asr, then you have a machlekes, Rav Leza says. It's asr, chacham say it's mutter. So that's a discussion on its own. Regarding yayin nesach, totally different discussion there. It's based on the idea that a droplet, even a mashu of yayin nesach, affects the whole mix. And if it's a different min, right, if it's wine and water, so then it's min she'ena mina, it's about a 60th, right? It's a totally different discussion. And the discussion here revolves around the rayin. Elohecha b'rayin k'mifliki. So again, the quandary is that in this equation, you really have two tracks running concurrently. You have the non-kosher wine mixing with the kosher wine, that's an element of min b'mina, same variety, which works with the mashahu formula, even a drop. And you have the water aspect as well, so it's really wine into water, which is min m'she'ena mina. 60 times greater is mevatel. So the question is, how do we view this mix? Do we say, well, the wines are now teamed up, and now you need 6 times as much as the total? Do you say, no, it's just a mix between the non-kosher wine and the water per se, so you have 60 times as much as okay, right? That's the machlekes. Rayin, can we disregard the kosher wine element within the mix and just suffice with the amount of water which is greater, 60 times greater than non-kosher, the ounce of non-kosher wine, as we explained before. Elohecha b'rayin k'mifliki l'chizkiyah. Lastly, Rayin l'chizkiyah doesn't hold to this rayin system. Rabbi Yechanan, there is rain, islay rain. Says the Gemara, islay Rabbi Yechon rain. Really, does Rabbi Yechon hold of rain? Can we disregard elements of the mix? V'bayimenei, we find elsewhere that Rav Asi asked Rabbi Yechon a similar question regarding a similar circumstance, not necessarily wine and water. Yai nesach, but regarding a similar case. Shnei koses, you have two glasses, echad shechulin, echad shetruma, one filled with chulin wine, one filled with truma wine, but not fully filled with wine. It was a sort of a diluted wine with some water, the way they used to do it, right? So imagine you have a glass of truma, an ounce of truma wine, with a lot of water. Next glass has an ounce of chulin wine with tons of water. Now the water, the volume of that water totals 60 ounces, let's say, which is sufficient to override the ounce of truma, but not sufficient to override both ounces of wine, if they're considered one entity. So again, the question is, do we consider them one entity? Or do we disregard the chulin, the ounce of chulin wine, and just focus on the ounce of truma wine, and you have 60 times as much water to nullify it? Sounds familiar, right? Shnei koses is echad shechulin echad shetruma, umazgun, diluted with wine, v'irvan zebazen, some fellow mistakenly, you know, mixed them together, one big mix. Ma, what's the halacha? The only way to permit this would be by employing the Royan system. And he didn't seem to have an answer. So apparently Rabbi Yechanan wasn't really strong on this opinion. Says the Gemara, you're right, Mikara initially, he didn't respond, he didn't have a clarity on this. But later on, yeah, he concluded that it's okay because of Royan, which concurs with our Gemara as well. It's Marnami, we learned likewise, and Rabbi Yechanan, that in fact, in the case of Beit Koses, two glasses with this diluted wine, Echad Shel Truchulin, Echad Shel Truma, Mazgan Vidim Zebzeh, which were diluted with water and then mixed together, yeah, it's okay. Royin is a hetekil ena, could just ignore the permissible wine aspect of this mix. Vashar, regarding the ounce of Truma wine, well, you have enough water to be mevatel it, 60 times as much. Maim Ravanolov, umatel leisa. Okay, so let's just recap. We have many halachos, all in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Interestingly, we have the Mishnah, first of all, right? That there's a mix of non-kosher material, such as wine or water, into other materials. It depends. If it's the same min, even a drop would affect the whole mix. If it's min m'sheni minoy, it's about flavor and taste. We have one quote from Rabbi Yochanan, that if there's Isser falling into a heter, there's no issue at all, because each drop, as it falls in, is bottle. According to the second version there, provided it's a small, slight flow. Then regarding Rayin, which is basically a case where you have permissible wine, an ounce of it, with forbidden wine, an ounce of it, with 60 ounces of water, all mixed together. According to Cheskia, forget it. There's not enough water to nullify both ounces, which are pretty much one entity, and have to be dealt with as one. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we do say Rayin, to the point that Shmuel Meridom Rabbi Yochanan quotes him as saying that even if the water falls in last, so this is already after you have the mix of both wines, it doesn't matter. The water could come in and save the day. Continues the Gemara. Zaklal, min b'minoy, b'mashu, shaloi b'minoy b'nesinta. So if it's min b'minoy, even a drop. Shaloi b'minoy, it's about time. Now this Mishnah speaks about Yayin Esach. The question is, what about other types of forbidden materials? What happens there? Do we also apply the same formula? So, regarding min b'she'ini minay, all agree that in all circumstances, it's about flavor, which can be nullified if you have an amount which is 60 times greater than the isra. But regarding min b'minay, wine into water, etc., when do we apply the idea of mashu? Is it just over here? Is it throughout the entire Torah? Rav Shmuel, they both concurred. Damit Habayu, kol yisurin shebetorah. This applies to all yisurin in the Torah. If it's b'minan, b'mashu. It's the same type, even a drop is enough to make it asr. Shalei b'minan, then you work with flavor, but listen to. And in fact, when the Mishnah says zaklal, this is the general rule. Asur yimai, what's it coming to cover? To cover all types of yisurin, more than just the yayin esach. Lasur yi, kol yisurin shebetorah. That follow this track. However, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they disagree. They both hold. Now, this is unique to Yayin Nesach and to Tevel. We'll see in a minute. But other Yisurim, it's always about flavor, even if it's the same min. Kol Yisurim Shebetorah, Bein B'minim, Bein B'Shalei B'minim B'Nais In Tam. Regarding other Yisurim, which aren't so severe, whether it's the same types, different types, it's about flavor. Chutz, except for two exceptions, mitevel. So you have grain, which is tevel, which hasn't yet been addressed in terms of its truma and its maser. So if that gets mixed in, even a drop of that would affect the entire mix. V'yayinesach, and yayinesach as well. There we say, b'mina, b'mashu, it's the same type. Even a drop is a problem. V'shalei b'mina, if it's a different type. But it's in time, then it has to have the flavor ability. V'zeh klal u'siyamai. When the Mishnah says, Zaklal, what's it coming to cover? What's it coming to add? And incorporate into this strictness that B'minoy is Mashu, Tevel. Just like Yayin Esach, Tevel as well. If it's B'minoy, B'mashu. So again, all Shitas agree. When there's a mix of Isser V'Heter, Shaloi B'mina, different types, they challenge each other, they oppose each other. And if he can't really survive the battle, if he's not going to be there, to the extent that he'll be recognizable, discernible in terms of flavor, he's bottle, which is generally the 60 rule, right? 60 times as much as bottle. And by the way, it doesn't mean that the flavor doesn't exist. It means to say that he's not really discernible as a distinct flavor. You know, Reb Chaim Brisca once said, you can't say that flavor disappears. He says, look, listen to this. He says, imagine you take 61 different flavors. Okay, you walk into this exotic, you know, ice cream store, and you take a scoop of each of the 61 flavors, mix it together. Now, the question is that mix going to have any taste? Of course it's going to taste like something. You won't be able to identify any specific flavor. Well, is a peach? Not really. Is a strawberry? Not really. But it's going to taste like something. It's going to taste like ice cream, right? So apparently there is flavor, even though each individual flavor has now been nullified by 60 times right? But the other 60 flavors. Right? Because each ounce of ice cream has 60 ounces to override it. But it still tastes like something. It tastes like a big mishmash. So Reb Chaim Brisker explained, when we say bittul b'shishim, we don't mean that it disappears. It means to say it's no longer distinct. It's no longer felt. You don't taste it as cinnamon anymore. You just taste it as one big mix. It loses its identity, its distinctness. And that's what makes it bittul. It's just an interesting concept. Okay, so min b'shein yamin, it all agrees, is nice and tam. Regarding min b'minoy, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's always a mashu. To Rabbi Chaim Lakish, mashu is only by yayin esach and tevel. Tanikam say to Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to have a brisa that supports Rabbi Shmuel, that min b'minoy is always a mashu. Tanikam say to Rabbi Chaim Lakish, that it's not. Tanikam say to Rabbi Shmuel, kol yisurim shebetor, regarding all yisurim, b'minon, it's the same type that got mixed together. B'mashu, even a drop. Shloi b'minon, of a different type, in ancient time, it's about flavor. Tanakh va say, the Rabbi Yechon Rosh Lakish, a brisa which supports their opinion, kol shon shebetayra, regarding other isurim, bein b'minon, bein shloi b'minon, in ancient time, it's always about flavor. Chutz, except for, mitevel v'yayin nesach. With there, we're more strict. So, if it's wine into wine, b'minon, b'mashu, then even a drop. Shloi b'minon, a different type, wine into water, but in time, you have to determine the flavor. Now the question is why? Why are these different? Bishlo miyayin nesach, I understand why yinesach is more strict. Shem chumr davis kecham, because of its avedazara association. And by avedazara, even a drop, right? A little teeny avedazara is us. So yayin nesach as well, we have to reckon even with a drop. Elo tevel my time. What's wrong with, why is tevel treated differently than everything else? The answer is, it has extra significance. How? My time. Because just like, imagine you have a pile of tevel. How much truma do you have to separate from that pile? So although Rashi brings, there's a Mishnah that the Chachamim determine, they establish certain systems, certain, you know, formulas, 40, the 50, the 60, depending on your generosity. But that's been the Rabbanu Menatera. Strictly speaking, Menatera, even a kernel, even a drop, would exempt the entire granary. So you see the importance, the weight of that truma, even a drop of that truma is so powerful, so significant, it can correct, it can rectify the entire, it can exempt the entire granary. Now, why is tevel asur? Tevel, because it still has that potential truma within it. So since truma is so powerful, even a drop is reckoned with. So the tevel, which is now asur because of that truma embedded within it, even a drop of that tevel carries immense power. Even a drop is asur. Ke'atero kachisur, just like on the positive side, even a drop would work. On the flip side as well, the tevel, which is asur because of that drop, so to speak, embedded within it, because of the potential truma within the tevel, even a drop of that tevel is very powerful with respect to Isser. Domar Shmuel tells us, Chita Achas, even one kernel, Poyeteres Esakri, can accept the entire pile. But Tanan Namiyach, we find the same in a Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah will explain, will highlight. We can infer from the Lashon of the Mishnah that, in fact, this is the underlying concept. The reason why is because of the truma potential. When do we say even a drop of tevel forbids the entire mix? It may not. Wheat into wheat. So you have a kernel of tevel wheat mixed into a pile of permissible wheat. So since technically wheat can exempt wheat, wheat can be used as truma for wheat, so they had that sort of correlation with each other, a relationship. And therefore, even a drop of it forbids the entire supply. But shalei b'mina, if it's a different type, let's say tevel wheat falls into a pile of barley. There's no relationship there. There's no correlation because wheat cannot be used as truma on barley. So he can't adversely affect it either. So there, we don't say a mashu makes it us rather b'nei sin tam. There, it's about flavor and taste, like any other issue. Oh, says Rashi, this proves our point. And in fact, the reason is based on the truma potential, which is unique to to a case where it got mixed in with the same type. Wouldn't apply. Wouldn't apply if it's a different type. That supports our explanation, the reasoning behind the halacha. Okay, so let's just summarize. Regarding a mix between kosher and non-kosher, if it's shalei b'minai, right, then in all situations it's about tam, and that's the idea of bittul b'shishin that we all know about. But if it's min b'minai, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's always going to be a mashu. Whereas according to Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, and that's how we paskin, even min b'minai is b'nai saying a tam, except for tevel and yai nesach, for the reasons discussed. All the best to you and hatzlacha rab.